During the course of our life, we will end up facing storms. But what causes storms to come? On today, we're going to look at the three sources or three causes of storms in our lives. Make sure you stay tuned.
You were listening to Good Treasure Podcast Show with your Bible teacher, Darius Good. He is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center and founder of Good Treasure Ministries. He is the author of the books Unlocking Godly Wisdom, Fear of the Lord, David, Man of War, and the children's book series, The Adventures of Ryry. For more information, visit the website at dariusgood.com. For more information regarding the church, visit the church's website at bgc.family. And now, here's your Bible teacher, Darius Good.
Thank you for joining us on today. You're listening to the Good Treasure Podcast Show. My name is Darius Good. I'm the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center. Make sure you visit our website at bgc.com. That's bgc.com. We have information there regarding the church as well as our service times, directions to the building. We have access to our virtual page where you could join us on Sunday mornings as well as on Fridays, where we have Push, which is our Bible study. And so visit that website today, bgc.family, and visit my website, dariusgood.com. You'll find information regarding all of our podcast shows, as well as several books that I've written. I have several albums that are available. I'm a songwriter, music producer. And so visit that website today, dariusgood.com, to learn more about all of that information. On today, you're listening to episode 28. If you miss any portion of today's episode, you can always catch us on the podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. Just look for Good Treasure or type in my name, Darius Good. Make sure you like, subscribe to the podcast show as well. And so on today, we're going to get into episode 28. It's entitled Jonah. We're going to look at the story of Jonah. And we're going to look at the three causes of storms. In our life, we're going to encounter storms at some point. And it's important that we can recognize what are the causes of the storm. And so sometimes I've talked with people, and some people believe that the storms in their life is always opposition. And so one might credit it to Satan. He's opposing me. I'm going through this because I'm a good servant. I'm a good saint. I'm so valuable to God's kingdom that Satan has come to oppress me or oppose me. The word devil means a adversary. So someone who is an adversary is one that comes and stands in your way. They try to hinder forward progress. But there's several reasons why storms come. And so on today, we're going to look at three reasons. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 27. We're going to read through this passage where Jesus says, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So a wise man, the definition of a wise man, according to this teaching, is one that hears and does. The doing is the obedience. I'm following the action that Jesus has instructed me to do. Wisdom is always action. It's an action word. It's the application of knowledge. Now that you have knowledge, now that understanding has come, now do and apply the knowledge. So wisdom is applied knowledge. It's obedience. Verse 25 then says, "Rain descended, floods came, winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." What's interesting is the ability for the house to stand was based on doing what God has instructed you to do. This is very important. So now it comes, you can't take that information, the knowledge that's been granted by God, and just ignore it. By not applying it, once the storm arrives, now the house is not in a position to survive the storm. So in this parable, he's explaining that the rain is going to descend. Floods are going to come, winds are going to blow, and it's going to beat upon the house. So doing the sayings of Jesus will cause you to be in a position to withstand the storm. He went on to say that everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not. We have these that ignore. So they heard, they didn't respond. They heard the knowledge came, they did not apply it. And so they're not doing the sayings of what Jesus instructed them to do. They might be doing what they think he said, or they might have created their own path. I hear what the Lord is saying, but I think this makes more sense. Now, what's interesting is people would never say that. No one ever admits to not following God's word, what the Lord has instructed them to do. But as a pastor, I have seen it over and over and over in many, many years, many, many people, where instructions will come, a prophetic word, a dream, and they'll see what to do, and yet they will forge their own path. They will choose to do something else entirely. And so they're not listening to what the Lord has said, and they're not doing what the Lord has instructed them to do. In doing so, once the storm comes, now you're not in a position to respond. So the house will take the beating from the rain, from the floods, from the wind. It is coming. It's on the way. And if you had been obedient, you would survive the storm. But because of lack of obedience, because of lack of preparation, because of lack of getting things in place as it should, this passage says that the house fell, and great was the fall of it. And so in both scenarios, we have those that are wise, those that are foolish. The storm came anyway. So being wise does not cause you to sidestep the storm. It doesn't put you in a position of avoiding the storm. What's interesting is Jesus says to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Jesus did not follow up and then say, I've prayed for the storm to dissipate. I've prayed for the storm to go out to sea. I bound the storm so you won't go through that experience. No. Jesus said, I've prayed that your faith does not fail. You, Peter, are about to go through this experience. And then he prophesies to him. And when you come out of this experience, my prayer is that you will be strengthened so that you will be able to strengthen your brothers as well. So there was purpose in the storm that Peter had to go through. Everyone is going to experience storms. And so now I want to turn towards Jonah, a man that experienced a tremendous storm. Now, the first reference we have of Jonah is in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. It says that he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath until the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which God spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. Now, to have a better understanding, so that's the first prophetic word we have from Jonah, and that's mentioned here in 2 Kings 14, 25, and we see that that word that he prophesied came to pass. Then when we go to the book of Jonah, what we have here is a man given a word, directions, by God. And he's known for his disobedience. We always tie disobedience to Jonah, the disobedient prophet. But what's interesting is we don't take the time to really have a full understanding of Jonah's disobedience. All we know is he hated the Ninevites. He was sent to Nineveh to prophesy, to preach to the city that destruction was coming, judgment was coming. God was judging the city of Nineveh for their extreme violence. And they had certain amount of days in order to repent. Now, why didn't Jonah want to deliver this word to the city? Nineveh was a part of the Assyrian nation. And history tells us in 721 BC, Assyria swept out of the north. They captured the northern kingdom of Israel and took the 10 tribes into captivity. So if you look up the city Gath-Hepher, it's located in the northern kingdom of Israel. And so this is the same territory that Jonah came from. So here we have Jonah. And of course, they believe that Jonah lived possibly about 60 years post Assyria coming into this territory, into the region. But this Assyrian Empire was known as a cruel and very aggressive people. And they ruled in that area there in Mesopotamia. They destroyed scores of cities and villages. They forcibly relocated or enslaved other groups of people. And so this is when the tribes of Israel were scattered. 10 of the 12 tribes were scattered. So the Assyrian nation, not only did they conquer Israel and scattered people, sent them into bondage as slaves, but those that remained in the region were under heavy tribute. That means they paid heavy taxes to the Assyrian nation. So now, let's keep all of this in context. If Jonah now is birthed into this time under the mighty, forceful hand of the Assyrian government, is going to create hatred between Israel and the Assyrian nation. Maybe they destroyed some of the cities. Maybe they destroyed killed some of the relatives that are connected to Jonah. There's probably entire cities that were now wiped off the face of the earth. Family members now sent off into bondage. So no, you don't grow up in this region and have love for your oppressors. So in Jonah chapter 1, we have God now sending Jonah to these conquerors, the oppressors, those who have their hand on the neck or their foot on the neck of the Israeli people. And Jonah refuses to be a prophet of salvation, a prophet of deliverance to this group of people. And so in Jonah chapter 1, let's begin at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, Jonah is in prayer. We know that because God is speaking to Jonah. God is spirit. For Jonah to hear the voice of God, he has to be in spirit. And so he's in prayer. He's in communication with God. And God is revealing plans, desire, assignment. He's revealing the assignment that Jonah is to carry out. Now in verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he goes down to Joppa. While there, he finds a ship that's headed to Tarshish, but he pays the fare thereof and went down into the bottom of the ship to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. As I mentioned in the beginning of today's episode, storms come from three sources. Number one, they come from Satan. So we mentioned that. Satan is the adversary. He's the devil, the one that comes to oppress, the one that comes to hinder. And so we have this story of the disciples. And Jesus says to the disciples, go to the other side. The disciples get into the ship. Jesus goes off to pray. You can find this story in Mark chapter 6. In verse 45, he straightway, Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the ship, to go to the other side before him unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departs into a mountain to pray. And when he even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Very important scripture. We can't skip this word, contrary. It's opposing them. Winds are generally not described as being in opposition. And so we understand that this wind came with purpose. This wind came as a result of a word spoken by the Lord. So when Jesus said, go to the other side, Satan came immediately to oppose them. Now we can find this in Jesus' teachings. It says that the sower sowed the word. He sowed the word. That's the Lord speaking, communication with God. So now I have the word. I'm not talking about a scripture. But Jesus spoke a word. The sower sows the word, the seed. And it says, and Satan came immediately to snatch that seed out of their heart. It didn't want the seed to take root. It didn't want the chance for that seed to germinate, to begin to grow, to come into full maturity and then produce fruit. And so Satan always comes in opposition when God speaks. And it's important we understand that. Why? Because when God speaks, it requires faith, right? To be on the right path. How do I know I'm on the right path? The Lord has revealed this to me. He spoke to me. Now I know where I'm headed. Well, guess what? Opposition is on the way. Satan always comes when the Lord speaks. And so this is the fight of faith. Will you believe what the Lord has promised you? Will you believe what he has said? Or will you give in to the attacks and say the attack is overwhelming? It's too much. The attack is too heavy. Guess what you are? You are stony ground. If you say that, listen, I got caught up in other things, right? Distractions. There's a lot of distractions going on. What's that? The cares of this world. That would make you thorny ground. And then we have wayside, those that do not listen, who just dismiss the word that was given to them altogether. So you talk to them next week, they have no direction. They don't know which way to go. You are wayside. I always say you took God's word and you tossed it way to the side. This is the parable of the good ground. So if you're going to be good ground, you got to hold on to the word, knowing a storm is on the way. There's a fight coming. And now I got to endure through this fight in order to get what God has promised me. And so the disciples had to believe God's word. And of course, Jesus, word made flesh, came to them, spoke to that storm, commanding it to cease. So we understand that was a demonic storm generated through the realm of darkness that came to oppose what God had spoke to the disciples. The second source of where storms come from is you, yourself. Oftentimes, people will not seek the Lord for direction and counsel. In Proverbs, it says, in all of thy ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. But when you're making decisions, then oftentimes we have to suffer the consequence of whatever those decisions are. I decided to do this. I decided to apply for this job. I decided to accept this job. I decided to move. I decided to date this individual. I decided to handle this situation this way. Well, you're making all these decisions. You're not seeking the Lord for guidance or counsel. And so with that being said, sometimes we, through our decisions, cause things to happen. And now we have to walk through the consequence of our decisions. I've talked to a lot of Christians and they ask me, can we pray this away? Can we bind it? You know, get a little spiritual. Can we bind it? Can we loose it? But no, you can't bind consequences of decisions. Some things we have to wait till that cycle comes to an end. If you plant something and it begins to grow, some things you can't uproot. And so you got to wait to the end of that season. And then when it dies, then it can be taken care of. Or you make these adjustments at the end of a cycle or the end of a season. And so some things we are going to have to go through. And this is a result of our choices, our decisions. But God is not going to cause it to just disappear. God does not wipe out the consequences of our decisions. But what he does have for us is called mercy. What is mercy? Mercy means you do not receive what you deserve. You deserve it, but you're not going to receive what you deserve. Mercy means you're guilty. So when you throw yourself at the mercy of the court, that means you are admitting to guilt. And so mercy says, if you're supposed to get 7 years in jail, but you get five, then that's mercy. It's a reduced amount. Mercy says, if you were supposed to pay $1,000 and they took $100 off, now you paid $900, that's mercy. And so we can cry out to God for mercy for decisions that we've made that's now affecting our life. But it does not mean God is going to wipe the situation away. Now, the third source of a storm is God. Now, I know many of you won't like that. God won't send a storm. God is not your oppressor. God will not hinder you and stand in your way. He will not fight against you and your house, you and your family. But it's true, he will. I'll give you two passages of scripture. James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And then we have 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Do you know what resisteth mean? Well, same word, James 4, 6, and same word in 1 Peter 5, 5. The word resisteth means to range in battle against. So let's put that definition there. God will range in battle against the proud. You know what battle means? Battle means that you prepared for war and you have a battle plan in place. God is ready to go war against you. And so what we see the commonalities of these two verses is he gives grace to the humble. The call to be clothed in humility. What does it mean to be clothed in humility? It means to acknowledge him in all of your ways, because I'm not wise. I don't know what decision to make. And so as I'm seeking the Lord for direction, I'm going to obey what he tells me to do. That's humility. And so as you subject yourself under the mighty hand of God, lower yourself under the mighty hand of God, the scripture says, then he will elevate you. He will exalt you in due time. That's how humility works. But God says, I will resist the proud. Pride comes before destruction. That's not Satan come after you. That's the Lord. So in Jonah chapter 1, let's look at verse 4. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. The Lord sent it. Not Satan. This was not Satan opposing Jonah. No, this was God standing in opposition to Jonah. It's important that we understand this. Our decisions. We pray and say, Lord, I will obey. Lord, I will do. Lord, I will say. And then when the time comes and we don't respond, God may begin to oppose us. Jonah was in covenant with God as a prophet. I will be your mouthpiece. I will go where you send me. We already see a prophetic word pronounced through the prophet Jonah, and that word came to pass. God now has another assignment, and Jonah is not willing to follow and obey. No, he's removing his hand from the plow. Oh, you're becoming unrighteous. You're becoming disobedient. Now notice this at verse 5. The mariners were afraid. This is Jonah chapter 1, verse 5. These are seamen, sailors, experts at sea, terrified, and they began to cry every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I want to highlight this point because Jonah's decision of disobeying God caused a storm to come. It's no different than the story of Balaam. Disobeying God, God sent that angel to oppose him, to stand in his way. And this choice is now affecting these seamen. these merchants, these mariners. And my question is, are you being affected by someone else's storm, their disobedience to God? Or is your disobedience to God now affecting others around you? Key detail, Jonah was asleep. Jonah was not even aware of what was going on. And what's so crazy is the storm is so strong that they're throwing things overboard in an effort to survive the storm. No matter how rocky this storm got, Jonah was fast asleep. Do not assume because you're going through a storm, it's because of your obedience. Do not assume that Satan has come to oppose you because you're obeying God and now you're fighting the fight of faith. Maybe it's a result of your disobedience, your refusal to do something God has asked you to do, or maybe you haven't been consistent with that thing. Whatever it may be, you need to lay on your face and ask the Lord what's going on. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, be blessed.
You have been listening to Good Treasure Podcast Show with your Bible teacher, Darius Good. This was a Good Treasure Ministries production. Darius is the senior pastor of Bible Gospel Center and author of the books Unlocking Godly Wisdom, Fear of the Lord, David, Man of War, and the children's book series The Adventures of Rai Rai. To learn more about these books or to listen to other episodes of our podcast show, visit our website today at dariusgood.com. For more information regarding the church, visit the church's website at bgc.family. We pray that today's episode has brought revelation and enlightenment. Please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast show. And until next time, may God open unto you His good treasure. Be blessed.